Of course the Jews thought that they would starve when they left Egypt. In Moshe's retelling of the story of the man, that is deliberate. There is something about the man that is inextricably linked to hunger, or at least our fear of it. So he afflicted you and made you hungry, and had you eat the man which you had not known and which your fathers had not known, in order to make you know that not by bread alone do humans stay alive, but rather by all that issues from Hashem's mouth do humans stay alive. The Ramban explains that the words afflicted you and made you hungry refer to the anxiety that the Jewish people experience because of the man. The Jewish people are not, in fact, hungry. They have the man to eat. Instead, they are afflicted because of their fear that they will be hungry. There is something about it that they do not trust to nourish them. And he fed you with man which neither you nor your father knew. The meaning is that you did not know about the man that you could live by it for many years, nor did such a tradition reach you from your fathers. Perhaps it is not just the man itself that the Jewish people are unfamiliar with that makes them afraid that they will starve. Perhaps it is the way the man arrives, without the need for suffering or degradation. Those were the terms of the world that they lived in, terms that had been introduced impossibly long ago when God first cursed Adam and Eden and told him that from that moment on, food could only be procured through exhausting toil. To Adam, God said, "Because you did as your wife said and ate of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed be the ground because of you. By hard labor shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it sprout for you, but your food shall be the grasses of the field. By the sweat of your brow shall you get bread to eat until you return to the ground, for from it you are taken. From dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Like all descendants of Adam, the Jewish people had inherited the curse that basic sustenance could only be attained by enduring back-breaking labor and sacrificing dignity. Like all descendants of Adam, the Jews who left Egypt understood that food had once been a basic guarantee, but that that reality was long gone, part of a mythic prehistory they could only dream of. It is a dream that, as Moshe says, is something neither they nor their ancestors could have known. And so, the Jews were baffled when they first saw the man. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it? Man who?" For they did not know what it was. "Man who?" they asked. "What is this?" A distant echo of God's question to Adam and Eden so long ago. "Hamin," from the tree. Did you eat from the tree? "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree from which, Hamin ha'etz, I had forbidden you to eat?" Hamin, did you eat from the tree, introduced a reality in which food and dignity were first divorced. Man who, the question that the Jews ask upon seeing the man, "What is this?" reintroduced a reality in which human beings would not be forced to choose between the two. God's gift of the man was not simply sustenance necessary to allow the Jews to live in the desert. God's gift of the man was a promise that a different reality was possible, a reality in which Adam's curse no longer reigned, in which human beings would no longer need to toil like slaves in order to live, a reality in which the fear of hunger did not haunt human beings constantly. We are told that a jar of the man was preserved, stored in the Aron in the most sacred part of the Mishkan, well before either set of luchot, which would eventually share that sacred space, was first carved. This is the first testimony that the Jews carried out of the desert, that before God is a lawgiver, he is a nourisher, and that before human beings are to be commanded in sacred covenant, they are to be fed in dignity.